Go ahead. You may be seated. Yeah, either way. Morning. Feels good? Settled in? Well, you may have noticed already, we have someone who's first time today. He's very aware of what's going on, aren't you, Tate?
Yeah.
His eyes see something. You remember when you were that little?
No.
I wish I could remember, because just imagine everything is, whoa, what's that, you know? Wonder. We're probably having a first-time visitor in, what, 2-3 weeks now with Ilona Parunakova, if that's how you say it. And she's going to talk about a mission that she's involved in. Family, of course, came from Armenia. If you know about that, a little bit about that country in Armenia. Years ago, there's a terrible massacre of Christians in that land, and a lot of them escaped, and some didn't, and many were killed. But that's her family background, but she's become a U.S. citizen, and I don't know what all. No one seems to know what all she's going to talk about, but we'll find out more. Anne kind of lined her up, and I see that spot. Are you up there, Anne? No. Okay, but Tate's here. And Tate, you know, you can make all the sound you want this morning. Anything will be. Yeah, welcome. Even crying and wailing and screaming. Good to hear. I don't want to give you any ideas, Tate, but of course, yesterday, pretty much filled downstairs. I don't know, was anyone upstairs, Dave? Did you notice? For, I had to learn how to say Lauren Stockman. We all mostly knew him as Charlie, right? And Barb says to me, he says, you know, most of the people here today will not know who Charlie is, so I tried to make that clear at the beginning of the service, but there's some extra bulletins from that that are laying out there if you want a beautifully done obituary or eulogy, whatever you want to call it. And of course, the luncheon was tops you didn't stay for lunch. You did? Oh, that's when we were out to the graveside. How did you like the hot dish?
I love the new hot dish.
Was this one special?
I've never had it before.
You usually have noodles. Yeah, well, this was a recipe that was used in the cooking for the hot dish at, I don't know if you remember Lynn, one of the daughters, Charlie's daughter. Was that this spring, maybe, when her service was held, and they had a hot dish that they wanted to repeat again. So thanks again to all those who worked, of course, and served. Other joys, concerns? A little bit of a one, huh, Tate? Yeah. Get that whole thing in your mouth there. Yeah. Well, let's proceed then with what's called the Proclamation of Praise, reminding us that our help is from God, who made heaven and earth. Come to worship the one who answers our prayers. If God were not on our side, we could not live. If God were not for us, we would be swept away. God has gifted each one of us in unique ways. In our variety, we complement one another. We rejoice in God's love and faithfulness. Blessed be our God, whose word is true. In thankfulness, we bring our joyous songs. We are here to pay attention to God's instructions. We are here seeking to discern God's will. We are open to God's transforming spirit. And we pray together this prayer found printed here. God, beyond our knowing, we believe that you care for humble people who seek to follow your word more than for those who are pretentious and proud in places of power. You have protected your people when they were surrounded by trouble. You have provided a way of escape in the midst of oppression. Your love never fails. Come, Holy One, to transform us. Work within and among us to renew our minds and build community. Nurse us into the health you intend for all your children. You are our help and our hope. Amen. We love to sing the story, the old, old story, yet somehow is new every time we sing it. 444. I love to tell a story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell a story because I know it's true. Despite my wrong, nothing else can do. I love to tell a story, will be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell a story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell a story because I know it's true. It's sad, a reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell a story, will be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell a story most pleasant to repeat. Each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell a story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell a story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, it'll be the old, old story. Calvary, that I have loved so long. I love to tell a story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. And of course, there's many ways to tell that story. It always seems, I suppose, a bit awkward to stop someone on the street and say, "Hey, have you heard the story of Jesus' love?" And of course, I don't think I've ever done that. And I wouldn't quite know how to react to that. But we can tell a story, whatever we do, how we live, how we care for one another, how we love one another. We can see God in each of us. That's telling the story. But of course, we fall short because we're human. And we're still learning how to negotiate the red path, the path to glory. We'll hear more about that, but in the meantime, let's pray a prayer of confession. And it may not exactly be your words, and you may think, "Ooh, gosh, I'm not that bad, am I?" It's not a matter of bad and good. It's a matter of acknowledging our Creator and knowing that we're loved. So pray the prayer with me to say, "Oh God, we did not realize that we are among the rich oppressors of this world. We think we are poor when we cannot have everything we want. Keep us from missing the power we have to confess our fear of those who are unlike us. We set up barriers against them when we are afraid. Keep us from acting in ways that alienate and divide. When we are tempted to conform to the world's standards, set before us the higher model of sacrifice and service that is given to us in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen." And be assured that as we pray from our hearts, God says, "It's okay. I forgive you. Hang in there. Keep on keeping on." We have various readers come. All two of us, right? So far. You can sign up to read any of you that want to anytime, as long as you can read. And James, it's always good to hear you read the words. I know they're printed, which helps, right? Thank you, Peg, for doing this, and she even reads them sometimes, as you will now.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, and the compassionate in cheerfulness. Here ends the word of the Lord today.
Thank you, James, for reading that. And I think Tate agreed with you. Trying to say something, yeah. Maybe he'll be a preacher. Maybe he is now. Conform or confirm. I hate to start with this, with something we talked about in Thursday morning's coffee club, which we call in Hutchinson the conclave, because I started last week with that. We talk about a lot of things, but I always like to hear what the others have to say about what I'm going to talk about or not talk about on Sunday. So I said, it's time for a theological moment. What do you think? Conform or confirm was the question. And so most chipped in. There's about a dozen of us there. Well, I think all of us came to an agreement about conform, not being the better one, but it was still needed. You know, we have to conform and obey laws and rules. We have speeding limits in town. I know I live in a place, we live in a place in Hutch, where it's fun to race down the little hill. Not just cars, but powered bikes or powered skates or scooters. And I say, careful. Is there a limit for scooters and powered bikes? Should there be? Should there be a rule, another law? We're hesitant to make too many laws and rules. So they're needed, but sometimes it can be a little confining to be conformed to, as Paul writes, to this world. We'll get into it in a second about what he means by this world. But we all agreed perhaps more strongly on confirm. And we usually think of it, what you believe, what do you trust in? It's more of an inward thing, isn't it? We call it confirmation. Sometimes when 7th and 8th graders start out in confirmation class over the years, I've noticed they're saying conformation. And I quickly say, it's about confirmation. It's not about trying to mold you into a certain human being, but it's about to have you awaken to God in you and to be confirmed in your belief. And candidates for confirmation will choose various texts for their text for life. It's so nice to have that. Confirm what you believe in. Who do you trust, or what do you trust? Now, when Paul said, conform, don't be conformed to this world, he meant to this age, this time, which he considered to be, justly so, from what we know, a very violent time when Christians were taken away and murdered simply for the charge that they were worshiping another god, or they didn't eat meat that was sacrificed, or they wouldn't serve in the military because they were, as I said yesterday, pacifists. And you could probably say, if all you did is watch the news, you'd know how it starts, usually with some disaster somewhere. Could be with nature, who many feel getting stronger, the storms, because of the way we live and the things we emit. Others say, no, it doesn't have anything to do with that. And you could say, yeah, times aren't so good around here. We don't want to take, we don't want certain things to get too carried away with our models, thinking that you, now where did I leave my phone now? Shoot. Having to depend on a phone so much is what I'm trying to say here now. And we see kids on bikes going by, looking at their phone. Well, they can multitask, all right, but is it the wisest thing to do? And what comes across? What are they looking at? So much, so much out there. Information. What do we take from it? Is it good? Who do we follow? What side are we on? Well, we already said today we're on God's side, but then we have to discern what that means. But it does not mean to conform to this world. It does not mean to conform to creation, the earth. For God created the heavens and the earth, and we need to learn how to live with them and take lessons from them. Not necessarily doing violence. Sometimes you've heard that our reaction to many conversations, to many things, is, well, someone hurts you, hurt them back. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I don't think the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was the only person or the first person to say, yeah, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth will only leave the world blind and without teeth. In other words, don't seek revenge, retribution. We've talked about how our response to many things is to fight or to flee. And I'd add one more F. To force others to think or what they believe or what they should believe or what they shouldn't be doing. Fight, flee, force. In music, that's three F's, which means in the Italian fortissimo, very loud. And if you were at the county fair last night, you'd get a pretty good example with the battle of the bands going on. What loud is. I know some who, they just left because it was too loud. The band and the, it's a lot of commotion. It seems to get louder every year. But sometimes it's a gentle whisper of a breeze that carries God's message. Don't be conformed to society, but be confirmed. Strengthen the inside. And, well, in confirmation, we call it honoring our baptismal vows. And you've seen these before. We vow to, basically, it's been said that in confirmation, you take what yourself, which was your vow that your parents took. Love God. Love one another. Stand up for the oppressor. Be fair and just and equal. And all that other stuff, that good stuff. Take them as for yourself in that belief. But, you know, there's something better than conforming, which is good at times, and confirming. And you can never know for sure which is better. But there's one thing that is for sure, not confirming. We've already mentioned it's in our litany so far. congregation said a while ago, we are here seeking to discern God's will. We are open to God's transforming spirit. Ooh, transforming. Now, is that another step or another discovery that's inside us and in our midst? You know, thank God for signs, our home in heaven. Be reminded that heaven is not only up there somewhere. I'm not saying that's what that says, but sometimes I know I think of heaven as being up there. But Jesus said it's among you, it's in you, it's with you. It's here also. And so right after Paul says these things about conforming, confirming, being transformed, he starts talking about the church and the body. And it's recorded something very similar in 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 18. Let me read this from you. Once again, we believe it's Paul that wrote this. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Because as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as God chose, as it is. There are many members, yet one body. And even a little child in the nursery where Tate spent many times, he was still part of us, right? And now that you hold him, that's much better, of course. But maybe somebody in the other part of the world, we don't even know. We're one body, Jesus says. Oh, several years ago, I wrote a little song about this being transformed. I'll sing a little bit of it for you. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Renew your spirit with the spirit of the risen Christ. And renew your spirit with the spirit of the living Christ. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. You can't be transformed by the world. Don't be conformed to this world. But be transformed. Transform, renew your spirit with the spirit of the risen Christ. But be transformed, be transformed, renew your spirit with the spirit of the living Christ, and give glory to God in the highest, and let there be peace in your mind. Help me to realize I'm a part of you, and to hold all life before me as sacred. There's another hymn that isn't in our hymnal, but I ran across the text of it this week, and I'd like to share the words to this hymn. Four stanzas written by L. Carmines from the New Century Hymnal out of Cleveland, Ohio. God of change and glory, God of time and space, when we fear the future, give to us your grace. In the midst of changing ways, give us still the grace to praise. God of many colors, God of many signs, you have made us different, blessing many kinds. As the old ways disappear, let your love cast out our fear. Freshness of the morning, newness of each night, you are still creating endless love and light. This we see as shadows part, many gifts from one great heart. And lastly, many gifts, one spirit, one love known in many ways, in our difference is blessing. From diversity we praise. One giver, one word, one spirit, one God, known in many ways, hallowing our days. For the giver, for the gifts, praise, praise, praise. Part of the word praise is in pray. And we'll pray now. First, we sing the first stanza of He Touched Me. Then I'll say some words of pastoral prayer, and then we'll all say the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll sing the second stanza. He Touched Me, 505. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the slave. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made. Yes, God, I think we understand how you worked long ago through Jesus, miracles like touching someone and they were healed. But who are we to think that you don't do such miracles today, perhaps in different ways? And so we give thanks for scientists, doctors, nurses, nurses' aides, teachers, teaching assistants, ones that work in daycares, caring for younger disciples, leaders in our churches, boards and committees, Women's Guild, and yes, even us poor pastors. Help us not to be filled with our own knowledge and how great we might be because we stand up in front of somebody. I mean, help me, I guess. Know that I'm like everyone else, with shortcomings, yet being transformed by your Spirit, hopefully not even knowing it. Because probably if we knew, we'd brag all about how God has touched me, whatever. But yet, may we not downplay such transforming of our spirits, but may we not limit the ways in you operate. We thank you for, well, Tate here today with us, prayed so many times, and gosh, here he is. This is such a joy. Thanks for his parents and grandparents and all the relatives and friends, and all the support they can give. We thank for those who are suffering yet today. Maybe there's been an accident. Maybe they've fallen, hit their head. Maybe they're out jogging and hit a rolling log and broke their ankle. Whatever the case, may everyone know they're not alone. And if we see somebody that thinks they're alone, oh God, help us to recognize that. Do something, anything. Maybe a smile, maybe a hello, maybe a nod of the head. You working through us, one body. And you taught us to pray this way many years ago. So we say together this wonderful prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. Since I met this blessed Savior, number 2. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made this is where we receive our offering, and don't pass the plate like we used to, but I encourage you to give as you come in and to put it in the plate as you go, either one, or both, or none. It's a free will offering, and let's stand and praise God for his many blessings. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above you, heavenly host, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen. Some words we could say together are printed in your bulletin. Let's pray together by saying, Receive our offerings, gracious God, as an expression of our thankfulness. In your church, we are privileged to cultivate the dimensions of our lives that give meaning and purpose to all we do. Here, we become aware that the greatest gifts we receive are not material. And when we learn how to best use the particular gifts you give us, at the same time, you show us how to material advantage can help others. May many be blessed through our sharing of these offerings and our sharing of ourselves. Amen. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gifts may be. All that we have is yours alone, our trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. It's love that lifted me. Let's sing that. Number 508. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained in sin, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now say, I am mine. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I gave, ever to him I'll cling. In his presence live, ever his praise to sing. So mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to be him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love, out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. I was in a church once with them when we'd sing that song, and the Pastor, but on that last love, he'd hold it on. Love! And he had big lungs, too. And he was always the first one singing that and the last one singing it. But I won't do that to you this morning. Simply to say that may God bless you and keep you. May God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.